Does Alex have a secret plan? Who the heck is Jonah? And who did Jeffrey call? Let's ask him. Runaways After Show starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys, this is our last show.
Of the season.
Oh, of the season, that's right. Because Runaways got renewed. For season two. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have a very special guest. I'm Oliver Drennan. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Before we introduce our special guest, let's introduce the rest of the panel.
Really go for 10.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey everyone, I'm Mina, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
What's up guys, I'm Ashley Brinkman. You can find me at Ashley underscore Brinkman, and we have our special guest.
Who could that be?
Some people call you Wilder Seniors.
No. Wilder Senior, that works. Okay, all right.
Where can everybody find you on social media?
Ryan Sands. You can find me everywhere at The Ryan Sands. The Ryan Sands.
Thank you so much for joining us. How does it feel? You know, you have the news just broke that season two is right around the corner. How does it feel?
Oh, crazy. I am just incredibly excited. We just got the news yesterday, and I honestly can't wait to get back to work.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for you.
Yeah, it was just with a bunch of the cast. You know, we had a little live tweeting going on earlier, and it was just a big old love fest over there, and everybody's excited, and yeah, looking forward to season two.
Well, we're so excited to have you. We're going to be talking the finale, episode 10, Hostile.
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, we pick up right where we left off on episode 9, where we had the standoff with that Pride versus the Runaways. This was insane. And I was like, okay, this is not complete. Where's Old Lace? Old Lace comes running. She's just like, y'all didn't just forget about me.
And then she gets shot.
Oh, my gosh. Dale was ready.
With a tranquilizer. But luckily, she was okay. As soon as she took it off, she's like, I'm good. I shake it off, you know?
Dale was ready. He was equipped. He knew the dinosaur. They took the dinosaur. They all knew. And Tina, she snatched the rod of one, the staff of one, back from Nico. So I was ready for a battle.
I loved it. She was like, if you would have took more lessons, I could have showed you how you did that. I was just like, you already clowned your daughter. Like, you really got to clown her some more. But okay, continue with your life. Okay.
Oh my gosh. What were you guys, what was going through your minds? Like, just seeing this whole crazy showdown. You know, we saw Carolina versus Jonah.
Yeah. That felt like that scene in Harry Potter with Voldemort. I kept thinking that.
Especially all the lights. Yeah, definitely. I can see that. Yeah, I love it.
I think Carolina was prettier. You know, she had the pink and blue. Jonah was just kind of like silvery, you know.
Yeah, I wanted Molly to toss that barrel. I wanted to see.
Yeah. Like, but she got knocked out before she could do anything. Yeah. So, I mean, she didn't even get a chance to fight. I felt upset.
I'm sure that's coming. I let it be known that one of my season two goals is to be thrown across the room by Molly. I want it to happen.
Of all people, too, like the tallest person.
Let's do it. Yeah, she's game. Yeah, so.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. She said she wanted to have a fight scene. I was like, Allegra, when she came here, do you have a fight scene? She's like, I want to have a fight scene. I want to toss someone. I want to toss Jonah.
Oh, she's
so
the best.
She might be tossing you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we talked about that before. So, yeah, we're going to work it out.
Yes.
And, like, we saw how the staff of one was protecting, but, like, I mean, it had to come up with some power, like, even the Fistagons. But what really got them was Carolina's power, that force of that power.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if Jonah didn't show up, it would have just kind of broke that protective against them.
I definitely think they would have overpowered the Pride. You know, the Pride doesn't really have their own special ability. I mean, they're all useful, that's for sure. You know, they made so much success and money from what they've been able to do with Jonah. But Carolina, like, we're just seeing her powers really, like, manifest. And I was waiting to see her fly, you know, but come to find out she gets captured. And so Nico and Carolina kind of have this relationship going on, and Nico wants to go back, and, like, what are you guys' thoughts on this whole shift in the Nico, Alex, and Carolina love triangle? Crickets.
Crickets.
I feel bad for Alex, personally.
I kind of feel bad for Alex. I don't know. Nico is kind of just going with whatever. Like, I just feel like there's a rift with her and Alex, so now she is kind of going with the flow with Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels, I don't know, I
not forced. Genuine.
Yeah. I just, I don't like it because I feel like in that dynamic that, you know, Carolina is the reacher and, you know,
Nico's the using settler. Her?
Not using her, just like.
I don't know if I think Nico's I just a feel settler. Like, but more so that something was awakened inside of her. Like, she finally figured out that she has feelings for someone. Because, you know, like, sometimes you can, like, harbor feelings, and then when something happens, it triggers it. I feel like maybe that more so is what happened.
Okay, this is not a possibility. No. That makes sense, too. It just, like, for me, when I was watching it back, it just kind of annoyed me, because I feel like, at the end of the day, Carolina is getting the shorter end of the stick just because of the way things are happening. It's just, like, not ideal how it's happening when she's still with Alex.
I agree in the fact that I think the way she went about it, just because you're mad at one person and, oh, this other person kissed me, and it's a non-complication. Mm-hmm. It's the only one non-complication that I'm experiencing when I'm mad at somebody else.
It's hard for me to get behind it. It's not using
Carolina per se as much as it's...
It's exploring. It's doing
a disservice to her as a person in the situation.
Carolina is sure of what she wants. Nico isn't. Yes. I think that's a better way of me phrasing it. That's what kind of is bothersome about the whole situation.
Ryan, what are your thoughts? You know, your son is being like left at the altar, essentially. Like,
yeah, I actually thought that, and it's funny. I actually, you know, felt that. Like, wow, yeah, he's all by himself. So now he's got to go and wander around the woods. But yeah, I thought it was interesting seeing. You know, if you remember episode one, the interaction with Nico and Carolina in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they had that connection there, where they're each, you know, kind of mm-hmm. checking each other on the image that they're portraying versus their true feelings. So it's interesting.
That was one of my favorite scenes when she said, "Some people use makeup to hide everything. Some people use a smile."
Yeah.
I thought it was so relevant to how society is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool to see the progression of that real connection right there in the episode one.
Yeah, definitely. And also oh my God. Fans can rest easy now that the Runaways have finally run away.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone's just, like, been so annoyed about, like, not running away, and they're finally basically running away. They have old lace in that shopping cart.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Were you there seeing them, like, wheel the, like, was it the full puppet? Like,
I didn't catch all of that. Yeah, we were pretty much on the construction site. That's where we were interacting with old lace mm-hmm. in the last episode. But, Yeah. I didn't really get people wanting them to, you know, it's episode one and they haven't run away yet. You know, mm-hmm. we got a 10-show season here. But, I mean, I get it. They are runaways.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, it was like really cool just seeing them at the end of this episode in slow motion just mm-hmm. run down that alley with old lace in the back.
I loved it. I wanted more just like slow motion Baywatch or something. Yeah, like I was like, no, that's it. No, I need more.
And then let's mention how even all the lectures were happening, old lace was still overprotectively over Gert, like just the way of her being. Like if she was serious, she didn't really care about nobody else. She was really just over Gert. And I found that so cute.
Yeah, that the scene where she has to, Gert has to tell old lace, you know, you can't come with us. I mean, that genuinely, I felt that, you know. I mean, hey, I'm a dog person, you know? So if I had to tell my dog, you know, hey, look, we gotta go off and do some things and just wait here, we'll be back. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing that. But that was a very well done scene.
Absolutely. And how they finally named Old Lace. Yeah. Like, finally, we don't have to call the dinosaur. I mean, we've been calling her Old Lace because we know. But,
did you
like,
guys catch the movie thing mm-hmm. that it said the Old Lace?
Yeah.
It was cute.
From my Old Lace to my arsenic. So I was like, yes, I loved it. It was such a great allude to the comics and bringing it to life. And I was trying to hold back my tears for sure because like these past few episodes have been so amazing. You guys, like, they were in disguise, like they had the wig. Gert had the wig, and this whole time I didn't know that purple hair that was a wig. Yeah. I had no clue. Wow, it looked so natural. Mm-hmm. Not really the green did. One, but
the purple one.
I loved Molly's bandana. It had like the stylized.
It was like, she's like, you told me to be like, you know, in disguise, not invisible.
See the clothes that they, it's really, I love the way the, you know, how the writers gave them a reason to be in the older clothing that they were in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. They had a vintage store, and so now we have Carolina with her yellow shirt on, yes, you know, and straight out of the comics, and Lyrica is I mean, she looks just straight out of the comics. So it's fun for me being a fan of the comics and the artwork to really seeing it come to life in that way is just props to writers and the wardrobe designers, mm-hmm, and everything. They really killed it.
So your character, we've learned so much about your character over this season. You were in prison. You killed a man, and then when you found out that you had to sacrifice kids, you weren't down with it, but you did it. Because obviously you got a film review, so you're going to be blackmailed. Right, so you kind of have to keep continuing. But you and Catherine, like, even she said, you guys have one of the most, like, healthier relationships, I think, beside maybe even Stacey and Dale.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the entire Pride. Like, you guys are, like, you're ride or die. I called her hood last week because I'm just like, there's some hood in her. Like, there was a reason why you guys vibed when she came to see you, yes, as your lawyer. Yeah. There's some hood to her. Yeah. And just watching that, you know, play with each other. How was that working with each other and playing these characters?
Well, it's fun because it gives us access to the characters and to the relationship. Like, if you could ground your characterization in something real. So for Jeffrey, my access point to him is his love for his wife, his love for his son. So I could rationalize, you know, to a degree, his actions, if that's first and foremost. So I think that's a good way for the Wilders to kind of say, all right, look, what's most important to us is this unit here, is our son, each other, what we've built, what we're in the process of building. So that is a great place. That's a great foundation to put all of these other decisions that we have to make, because the stakes just keep getting higher and higher and higher. And you, through the course of it, you understand that, you know, we're not just like cookie cutter villains, so to mm-hmm. speak. We're basically people from different backgrounds who got contacted at different points mm-hmm. in their lives and were given an opportunity. And like from this, the moment we accepted that opportunity, Tina's got the camera on the show, you know, and this kid is becoming energy, and it's too late.
Oh my gosh!
So it just builds from there.
Speaking of Tina, what were you guys? This is why I was crying last night, because we come to find out that Leslie knew the whole time that Jonah killed Amy. This was a big reveal, and Brittany, who plays Tina, she did such an amazing... You could just see the pain and actually...
Just told her that a little while ago. Yeah.
I want her to slap her personally. That was my first... Because I wanted that showdown I was wanting with the whole staff and her taking off her earrings. Like, because seriously, that's when you know a woman's going to fight when the earrings come off. But the fact that Leslie, that was the first thing she did, I was just like, okay, you got some little gangster to you, Leslie, more than I thought, because you were always in white, so I don't know how to take you sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, watching it was heartbreaking. Like... Mm-hmm. Like, we had our own secret, but now the group knows. But you knew somebody killed my child. Mm-hmm. I'm down with her. Let's kill her in the basement right now.
Yeah.
Leslie, she was definitely blinded by love, don't you think? And, you know, but they decided not to do that, not to kill Leslie, because they need Leslie in order to possibly, you know, kill Jonah, hopefully, you know, because Jonah's the big bad, as we're seeing. But we still are kind of unsure if, like, Leslie has turned a new leaf. Because what if she's still working for Jonah?
Was asking you this, and I don't know if I'm just going crazy or overthinking this entire situation, but there was a specific scene that made me think that maybe Leslie is in charge. And it was the moment when Leslie's assistant said, "So I hear Jonah is in charge," and she said something along the lines of, "No." And you see that Jonah is checking a text message that says, "What's next?" What's the next move? And I don't know if that was Jonah sending Leslie the text or Leslie sending Jonah the text, but my interpretation was that it could be mm-hmm. Jonah sending Leslie the text. And I feel like there might be a power shift going on, and I think it's almost too easy or too simple to automatically assume that Leslie is working for Jonah. I think, you know, with the backstory of Leslie's father creating this church, I feel like Leslie does have a motive that we don't all know and that the Pride doesn't know either. And I think that Jonah is involved in this scheme and might actually, like, be helping Leslie in some sort of way. I also think that given the ending of the episode, I think that what Leslie did when she let when Carolina escaped with her friends and when Leslie facilitated that, to me it felt like it was her trying to paint herself as, you know, this person who's helping them escape so that she's seen in a positive light by everyone else. But ultimately, I think that she did that and called the cops to set them up, unless that was you who made the phone call.
Yes.
So that's, like, my only lingering question is, who were you calling? Like, because, like, I feel like I have all these pieces to a puzzle to figure out. But I really do think that there's more to Leslie that we don't know.
Yeah.
That could be, like, a pivotal, you know, clue to solving what exactly is going on here.
Do you care to elaborate on who you called?
Because I have my own theory.
You don't know.
I honestly, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. And I...
How do you act it out not knowing who it is?
I didn't really... Okay, there's a couple things going on. Sometimes, as an actor... So there are two things I'm balancing, right? As an actor, there's some things I just don't want to know until it's time, right? But as a genuine fan of the show and the writing, is some stuff like I started just skimming. I wouldn't read the whole script so much until, like, the we had to during the table reads. But, you know, I want to see this story unfold a bit, so there's some questions I just don't ask. So when I approach that final scene, I say I'm making a call, you know, a call that can change everything, and I'm playing a few scenarios in my head, and as long as it works for our director and our writers, you know, our showrunners, and I'm good, you know. So I honestly don't know. I assume, my guess is that I called the police. That's my guess, but we'll see. And I think part of it, I think in writing, sometimes you don't always have everything figured out. You kind of want to leave yourself open. You know, my last line of the season is, we go to war. I tell Catherine, you know, after I make this call, we go to war, you know, but with who?
Real quick, just to add to that, Ivan actually had a interesting theory I would like to bring up. That he said that Wilder's dad framed the runaways, and he's going to be making the call that would change, because he said he would make a call that would change everything. So it's possible that that Jeffrey made the call to the law enforcement. So I mean, because that definitely changed the whole game, like, completely.
But I also want to know.
I feel like that's too easy, though.
Yeah, I think it is too easy, and I don't know why. I have, like, this gut instinct. I know it doesn't completely make sense. I can't remember the name of your friend from prison that
Darius.
You
betrayed. Darius.
Darius.
That's what I think you called.
I don't know why. Like, my gut instinct was you called him, but I was like, what would you tell him to give Alex the money? But for some reason, I feel like, who would have that much cash on hand? Like, I don't think it would be a character we're not introduced to. I don't think it would be someone random. It would have to be someone that you know that you're trying to make amends with, or you're trying to, like, utilize as a tool. And I feel like that has to be Darius. I also feel like Darius is going to be an extremely important character, considering that he saw exactly what happened in that entire area. But I feel like we're kind of all forgetting about him right now. But I feel going to come back in season two with a very important role.
I really don't think Jeffrey called Darius. Same. Because Alex called Darius.
Yeah.
Jeffrey made the call at the end of the episode. And then right at the end of the episode. Oh, Molly is kidnapped by a bunch of kids who killed Destiny. So, like, that's why I'm thinking you set him up. And
but also, Alex said...
I could see Alex calling Darius, though. That's a very good thing.
This is my question. Alex told Darius, like, I'm your his enemy, you're his enemy, and now we're friends.
Yeah, but the thing... Okay, so I have a different theory for that. Enemy is my enemy. Yeah, I know.
This is why I think you didn't call Darius.
Okay.
Because of two things. First of all, Alex used a payphone.
He knows.
Alex used a payphone to call a number. So that must be a number you know. It can't just be a random number. First of all, how would he get Darius's number? So if you're calling from payphone, that means you have to have remembered this from like so many years, because all of us use cell phones. So once he turned his cell phone back on really quickly to write down a number he needed to use a payphone for, I feel like he called you after he heard you and Catherine coming out of the Gaborum a little bit, and maybe that shifted his own mindset about you guys. And that he's going to be a mole. That's why I think the mole comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because seriously, despite the fact that Darius is a gangbanger, drug lord, whatever you want to call him, I'm pretty sure he can't have that much. I can see him giving him the gun. The gun, I understand. The money, it has to come from you guys. First of all, because you had a whole bunch of it in your drawer. So that's where that comes in my head.
Doesn't have any. Because he wants money from
you. Oh, there's so many holes in my argument now.
I'm just loving this because, like, we're having like this, all these, like, theories. And, like, shout out to Josh and Stephanie to be able to, like, put out the show and, like, to end on such a gray note. Because, like, there's so many. It's not just the black and white thing. It's like we're like having such an in-depth discussion right now of all the possibilities of season two. So I think this is amazing. I love hearing you guys and your theories, so I'm super excited.
You know something that you're not telling us. You have this like mischievous
grin.
I know a little bit,
you know.
Spill it.
I
feel something.
Can you tell us what you know without telling us what it is? Like, tell us like the general.
There's a Marvel police guy, so he has to be careful.
Uh-oh. They're watching us.
Right here behind. I think that in terms of Alex reaching out to Darius, I feel like I'm pretty sure that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Alex is a smart kid. Alex, I've described Alex before as like our worst nightmare, because he's the product of Jeffrey and Catherine, two very strong individuals. Jeffrey's probably Jeffrey's more street smart. Catherine is she's a
book smart,
intellectual,
logical,
crazy smart. We're both kind of alphas, and the beauty of our relationship is that we kind of give each other room to be strong in our respective ways. You know, Alex is a product of that. Alex is always a step ahead. I mean, the whole I love the way they set up the password thing, how they were playing with, you know, most people know how the comic goes and what you might expect from Alex. But anyway, I think that he's a smart kid. And I think that he might see once Darius started planting the seed of, look, your dad isn't who you think he is, and around episode 5 and actually being shown this at that time that your father, well, he already knew that. He saw me in a red robe, you know. So he's the seed there is already planted. But then for Darius to come in and be like, look, he's not a good guy. He promised me this, and I never really denied it. You know, Jeffrey told him, look, don't worry about that. You don't know a thing about that. Just, you know. So I think Alex is already, if he had to pick sides, he'd pick the side of somebody else who had a beef. Like you said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So crazy. Yeah, I think it's I feel pretty good with the train of thought that Alex just reached directly out to Darius.
It's so crazy. I think it's really sorry. No, I just think it's crazy because it seems like there's like this interesting shift that's going on. You and Catherine, you guys are like kind of leaving the pride in a sense, you know, because you want to protect yourselves and Alex. Whereas Alex, he's like, he doesn't really realize his parents like do care about him, but he's getting away from the runaways and he's getting away from his parents. He's kind of like making his own squad now, so he's having the Alex gang. So it's just really interesting and seeing like how Alex is just being really like shady in this episode. Even the quick shot of him like going like the tent or the truck. You remember that?
Right,
he
by.
Walked by. Nico was just kind of like
yeah,
peep that, and I was like ooh. And then I think Alex had a gun at one point too. Yeah. So I'm like I'm kind of afraid of Alex right at this
point.
Yeah,
this kid, he stole Jeffrey's gun before. Now he's got this gun. Watch out for him.
Well, Alex has contingency plans. Like yeah. I feel like he like in his mind like he works in contingencies.
Yeah,
it was like, interesting that he showed. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're great.
It was interesting that he showed Nico the money, but not the gun. He was like, "Oh, I had to go get something. Mm-hmm. Like, I got this for us." But he's always hiding the gun. Yeah.
And he didn't reveal.
That's his power.
Do you think? I have a question. You know how the computer was destroyed? Alex is so tech savvy that don't you think he has it backed up to an external hard drive? I mean, it's like such a simple solution that I don't think all the files are actually destroyed. I think he was acting. He's so like, there's no way. Like all that work, you think he's just gonna put it on one computer, no backup?
Well, that's his own personal computer. He always carries around with him. So I mean,
if he has an external hard drive, but
if he didn't have it with him, he didn't have time to upload it because maybe he didn't between Nico coming back and him finding actually getting the video uploaded. You never know. But, like, I'm actually surprised he hasn't tried to steal a computer by now. This point, you might as well jacked one.
Well, they're definitely... I think he is trying to be
go
strategic.
Go to the Apple store or something.
Well, he doesn't want to be... Brian has connections all around the city. He wants to be off the grid at this point. But he's so smart. He's so strategic. Don't ever underestimate him. Don't underestimate Janet. Don't underestimate anyone on this show, okay? And it was really cool to see Old Lace kind of reunite at the end with everyone.
That was so sweet.
Wasn't that? I wasn't expecting to see Old Lace again. I was like, okay, we're not going to see Old Lace till season two. But it's really cool that, you know, season one ended this way because you guys, like, it set everything up.
Yeah.
So you guys have so much to play with. So many, you know, our theories, so many options, so many routes, so many things to go through. And so I'm so excited for you guys.
I think it's a testament to good writing, man. I'm biased, okay.
But, I am too.
But I'm also, you know, I watch TV. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think if you have a finale where you're answering some questions, okay, we see who Jonah is for the most part.
Ish.
Yeah, we get the,
even with the X-ray, you're just like, you're being of light. Like,
right.
You're not even a person.
I was a little freaky, right? Yeah. But we kind of, you know, we have some of those questions answered. We see, you know, that who was really responsible for the death of the Hernandezes and stuff. So, mm-hmm. we answer some, but then there's so many more questions that are being asked. There's so many options and different places to go. So I forgot because, you know, it's been a while since we had our last table read and I forgot a few of the things that go on with the Runaways at the end. I forgot Old Lace came back. So that was once the dumpster started moving around. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's So I'm excited by where they're, you know, everything is right now and the different avenues that they can go in.
How can Jonah truly be in charge though when Leslie was the one who brought him back to life using the pride? Like, that's my question.
That's
like, why
question.
Is he the one who is the most
there's more
feared?
Than one.
There's so many questions personally.
There's more than one Jonah, maybe.
There's more than one.
I mean,
I think she's so wrapped around his finger because she was just in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
That he did have that control just because of that.
Well, I'm curious because remember what episode was it? One of the recent episodes when he reassures Leslie that he's fine. You know, it was episode 8, I believe. When the murder box was destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm good. I told you I'm fine. I'm good. Don't worry about that being destroyed. And now at the end of episode 10, we see Jonah's sleeve and he's turning into old, nasty, flaky man again. So
does he have an age?
Apparently.
Or is he like some godlike figure that has no age and has no start date?
You saw that picture with young Leslie and he looked the exact
That's
same.
That's so creepy.
Yeah.
That is the creepiest thing ever that she's in love with him and it's like... I don't know. It's just, it's so bizarre.
I love the chat right now. Sorry to interrupt. It's just something in the chat like about Alex being the leader. They're questioning him being the leader and why he should be the leader. And all the theories that they're saying, I kind of agree with. But the thing about Alex, I feel like, because they're saying a leader shouldn't keep secrets. And I think the point of a leader is in their mind is to decide is this information going to, if I'm giving you this information, is it going to help us or hinder us? Mm-hmm. So you have to decide sometimes, you have to keep secrets, even if you are the leader, it doesn't matter if you're Batman, Superman, whatever, you're going to keep secrets
from whatever. You can't be fully transparent if you know a piece of information is going to affect the way someone is going to behave for the worst.
I disagree. Just because of the position we're in now, with the Pride lying to their kids for years, I have to disagree. Like, I feel like in this predicament, you know, you guys are being chased, you're on the run, you kind of have to be open, like, 100% with each other. But, because Alex, I just think Alex is being shady right now, but...
I feel like it's for a purpose, like, but then, like, and I think in Alex's mind, the reason, same reason he kept, you know, what happened to Amy a secret. Like, he has his own plan in mind, even though people might hate him afterwards, but it might all work out fine in his mind. So I think in his... The benefits and the rewards outweigh who's going to be angry at me at the end of this.
It's also just kind of his way of, like, being. He's kind of a lone wolf. He doesn't have too many people involved in, since the beginning, like, in anything that he does. So I think that's just what his way of, like, navigating through scenarios and situations and figuring it out.
Go ahead, man.
I just want to say real quick, also, now that you guys brought it up, it just clicked that there are, like, very striking similarities and parallels to how Alex is going about things and also how Leslie is going about things as well.
Yeah.
So
they're going to end up hurting someone at some point. You know, Leslie had this terrible lie for all these years about the death of Amy. She knew it. So... I just think it's a very deadly way of being a leader.
Yeah.
So it's going to come back to bite you regardless of whatever happens.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because if you look at the arc of their friendship, like they just got back together. So they'd come from a point where they weren't communicating. Nobody wanted to come and have pizza and hang out. You know,
he couldn't. I would have came.
Yeah. He was eating pizza for 7 or 6. RIP Amy.
Oh wait, was that a clue? Is Amy still alive?
What? No.
She No,
that was somebody in the chat. Like, they're like, plot twist, like, Amy's actually alive.
Nah, I don't think so. But that's what he said on the phone. He's like, yeah, pizza for 70s. Oh, 6.
So sad.
So, yeah. But if you look at that, and so now you've got them all, and they're all on one accord. But then that dynamic starts to change because then Chase and Victor start getting close again. You got, I'm drawing a blank. Lyrica, what is her
name? Nico.
Nico, yeah, wow. it's late. So Nico starts to soften when she sees Tina cry, you know, at the gala. So then you start to see them kind of soften. So they were all like, we got to turn our parents in or figure out what's going on. And then you kind of see people just start to waver a little bit. So, yeah, it might not be the coolest thing to do to keep the secrets. But if he feels like, hey, I'm in a position of leadership, then this is what I have to do. Maybe you can't handle the truth right now. Mm-hmm. And let's keep us all moving. But speaking of leadership, there was a funny because you were talking about powers and the Pride not having powers. So the night, a little behind the scenes here, episode 10, we're all at the construction site and it's getting late. And so we're all getting a little loopy. And so when Tina has the staff and Robert Minoru, James and I, we were talking about, man, I want some powers. I want to do something. And so James went on Marvel's the Runaways wiki and was, like, looking to see if he has any powers. He's like, oh, you got a great power. And I'm like, what? What's my power? He says, leadership. And that's what it said, powers and abilities, leadership. So that was a so big funny. Joke that, yeah, that's my superpower.
We've seen your character kind of go from being like the top dog, like you and Catherine or that couple is like the
alpha.
Kind of alpha scary couple in a way. And in this last episode, you kind of aren't that. Like when you go and meet Jonah, he kind of just like, I'm not having anything to do with you guys. And he has his security guards kind of see you guys out. And then you kind of back away from the Pride and everyone else. I feel like in season 2, we're really going to see you guys come back strong and be mm-hmm. even scarier.
Also, yeah. Real quick, I just want to do a quick shout out. And also, just a fun fact, where that was shot, well, all the scenes for the Church of Gaborim is actually Cal State Northridge, of which I am an alumni of. Oh, nice. I graduated this past June.
Yeah,
and also I really just wanted you. I wanted to see. I wanted to see Jeffrey strong arm one of those Gaborim, Goonies.
I think.
I thought Catherine was gonna slap one of them personally. That'd have been dope. Well, like she had that purse on her side. I mean, you better swing. You can take out two people with that purse. Come on now.
No, she has the ponytail. She's gonna whip it.
Yeah,
you know, in the comics, it's always just like so perfect, and it's perfect on live action.
It's always
form,
a
too.
Movement. In
I'm just like,
too.
Sheesh, it's a weapon right there.
Yeah.
Do you see something like that in season 2? For you guys,
I hope
what
so.
Do you think? Yeah,
that would be awesome. So. It's a war.
Yeah, I mean, I think the dynamic that we've been working with is that the rest of the Pride are kind of messy. You know, you got some stuff going on. You have an affair going on that mm-hmm. basically jeopardizes some stuff. You've got the Steins, they're kooky, they're weird, they're always bringing cheese to the party. You know, we don't. I'm sorry, not the Yorks.
Oh, New
York. Sorry. And the Steins, they're, you know, Victor's volatile. You never know what's going on.
I'm sorry. Tina's somebody in the comments scary. Like, you should have beat Jonah when you made that Compton comment. I would have came for you too.
We shot. Like, really? There was a little Compton? bit more of a standoff that didn't quite make the final cut. But that was fun. Like it's fun to work with Julian because he does that creepy thing well. And
he used to be Dr. Doom.
Yeah, of course.
Wait,
right?
And he was also Cole from Charmed. I'm mentioning because, of course, I'm a Charmed fan.
Yeah, so. But there was a little more standoff that didn't quite make the final cut. But yeah, I think Jeffrey and Catherine were always just kind of just looking. I think from the first episode, we're at the dinner party. We're all just looking around just get out of our house.
Please, really,
do what we have to do so you can leave. I'm sure that's going to come into play in season 2. And I'm excited.
I have two big questions before we go. So I'm really curious. One, somebody asked in the chat, and I feel like I should ask: do you trust your son? And two, if in fact you did make that call to police, why? My question would be why.
Okay. Do I trust my son? I trust him to be who he is. So I guess in that means I trust him to not stop until he has an answer. And I don't think Jeffrey knows what answer to give him. Jeffrey has always tried to shield. He tried to shield what his present from his son to keep his son just clean and clear of any dealings with the Pride and those red robes and murder boxes and sacrificed teenagers. And he's also trying his best to keep him, keep his past from Alex, trying to keep Darius away and just to keep that as, the old Jeffrey. So I think he wants Alex's life to, he wants Alex to have the best. He wants him to flourish. He wants him to date Nico. You know, he wants him to have a normal, regular childhood, but he knows he raised a smart kid. And a kid that, by all indications, has a strong moral code. Wants to beat bad guys and form, and maintain good, strong friendships. So I think he trusts Alex to not stop until he finds out what's really going on, and that's kind of a scary prospect for a father. Mm-hmm. And why would I make the call to the police? I think what's most important to Jeffrey and Catherine is the safety of Alex. That's what we've talked about. Angel and I have talked about in our just backstage conversations, and about motivations and stuff. So I could see calling the police to hopefully track them down, because we don't know if Jonah and a whole squad of armed cult members in white shirts and khakis are driving around chasing the kids, mm-hmm. So I could see getting them, especially if the police, I've got the police in my pocket, so to speak. I could see yeah, at least I know where they are. At least I know that they're safe. Mm-hmm. If they're in custody. So that makes sense to me.
Definitely.
So are we assuming that Jeffrey called the police and also put out that they are murder suspects, or do you think that's someone different?
Good question.
Ooh, we're going to find out.
Why don't you tell us?
Season two. Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately, soon. But Shay, I know you want to do this giveaway right now.
Yes, but I want Ryan to pick.
Oh.
The winner.
Oh, wow.
Well.
No pressure at all. Okay.
Ryan,
you know, swish it
this
around.
Is all you.
Oh, okay. All right. Uh-oh, I might yank this off my head. Okay.
This is going to be the winner of this comic that Ryan signed, along with everyone who joined us this season on Runaways After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Right. And it is...
It is... The Ron Underwood.
The Ron Underwood!
The Ron Underwood, yay!
Congratulations! This is all yours,
So, actually, LeRon just tuned in. So, LeRon, you just tuned in and you just came to the chat. You won awesome. The comic! So, you're going to DM me... Any of my social, well, just DM me on Instagram. I will get it. Send me your address, and I will send you this.
That is awesome. Thank you for being the one to do that. LeRon's probably, like, ecstatic right now.
Congrats, LeRon. Oh, my congrats.
Gosh. Oh, everybody's coming in like, oh, my gosh, congrats. Yay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we want to wish you all the world the happiness. Like, thank we you. Are so happy for you.
Congrats
on
the NAACP award before we go as well.
Nomination.
Nomination. Yes.
And hopefully you're going to win that, too, as thank well. You.
Yeah.
And we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts at AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Love talking about this.
You're going to have to come back. This yes, isn't the last time.
Yeah. Hey, oh, wait. Oh, guys. Special announcement. Because I don't remember if you guys know. So, on next Tuesday, I know we won't be doing a show, but we'll be doing a special Facebook Live tweet with some of your favorite Pride members. Some who have come and some who haven't. So... You have to come tune in next Tuesday to figure out who's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It might be Ryan, might not. I'm not giving anything away, but the Pride will be in the building.
It's just going to be a party, and there's going to be red robes, so
yes.
You have to tune in for sure.
Nice.
So, one last time, let's say goodbye to the wonderful Runaways that have tuned in all season.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Brinkman, and you can find me on Instagram at Ashley_Brinkman.
Bye, everyone. I am Mina, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
Hey, guys. For one final time this season, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and Love Shea Butter on Snapchat.
Yes, guys. I'm Oliver Jen. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. This is probably one of my favorite Marvel shows ever. It has to be top one, maybe top two. Jessica Jones is really good as well. But where can we find you, Ryan?
You can find me at The Ryan Sands on IG and Facebook and Twitter, The Ryan Sands. And just a quick shout out to all of the fans, everybody that's been watching. Thank you so much for all the support. It means a lot to us. And we can't wait to bring you guys a new show in soon.
Yes.
And now we're going to get Kate, too.
Woohoo! Bye, guys. Thank you guys so much.
From executive producers so Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.